Scripture today is from Revelations chapter 17 and 18. Then one of the seven angels who had seven bowls came and spoke with me. Come, I will show you the judgment of the notorious prostitute who sits on many waters. The kings of the earth committed sexual immorality with her, and those who live on the earth became drunk on the wine of her sexual immorality. So he carried me away in the spirit to a desert. I saw a woman sitting on a scarlet beast that was covered with blasphemous names, having seven heads and ten horns. The woman was dressed in purple and scarlet, adorned with gold, precious stones, and pearls. She had a gold cup in her hand filled with everything vile and with the impurities of her prostitution. On her forehead a cryptic name was written, Babylon, the great, the mother of prostitutes and the vile things of the earth. Then I saw the woman was drunk on the blood of the saints and on the blood of the witnesses to Jesus. When I saw her, I was utterly astounded.
Yeah. I'd like to share with you this morning from the book of Revelation. So if you have your Bibles, I would encourage you to open them to Revelation chapter 17. And we're going rather fast now as we approach the end of our study in the book of Revelation. But I want us to look at these two chapters, and since we're not going to read every verse, it would be helpful to you to have your Bibles open there to those chapters. The subject is Babylon, Judgment of Babylon. Now, Babylon is back in the news. It's had many centuries of obscurity, but now people are asking, well, is this literal Babylon being rebuilt, or is it spiritual? And I suppose of those who believe in a literal interpretation of the book of Revelation, it could be either. Now, when I say literal, I don't necessarily mean that everything in the book of Revelation is to be taken at face value. You understand that. There are many things that are symbolic here. So H.A. Ironside, for example, and many others believe that this is spiritual Babylon and not literal Babylon. Now, if you'll remember back a few years ago, we found out that Saddam Hussein was rebuilding Babylon. And I think it's pretty well preserved as yet. I don't think it's... I think the war kind of spared that area because of its historical value. But you may recall in the Old Testament that God said that literal Babylon would not be rebuilt. So H.A. Ironside and others believe that this is really a system rather than a unique geographical place. And we'll talk about that. But in these chapters, we're going to look at a woman on a beast. It says that one of the seven angels who had the seven bowls came and spoke with me. Come, I will show you the judgment of the notorious prostitute who sits on many waters. The kings of the earth committed sexual immorality with her, and those who live on the earth became drunk on the wine of her sexual immorality. And so it says here that the angel carried John away in the spirit to a desert. And I saw a woman sitting on a scarlet beast that was covered with blasphemous names. Now, to this point, at least, it seems what is being portrayed here is literal Babylon. It's in the desert. Of course, this is a desert area, desert region. Many who take a literal interpretation of this would say, no, real Babylon is going to arise. Well, who's going to say it's not? We don't see it yet. We see a country that's devastated by war over there and has had really generations of war in that area. It's hard to imagine that literal Babylon could arise. But I want to suggest to you that we don't necessarily need to believe in a literal resurrection of the ancient Babylon. And some would say that goes contrary to what God prophetically said in the Old Testament scriptures, that Babylon would never rise again. But I want us to look, first of all, at an exhibition here, an exhibition. Now, I believe that's what we find here in the opening verses of chapter 17, this description of this woman sitting on a beast, a prostitute, not just a woman, but a notorious, it says in my translation, a notorious prostitute. And it says that later down the chapter that on her forehead, a cryptic name was written, Babylon the Great, the mother of prostitutes and of the vile things of the earth. Now, if you have a King James Version, it begins, that title does, with the word mystery. Well, there's a mystery about this woman. I think that we want to know more about her. But I really believe that that word, which is mystery in the Greek, incidentally, our word mystery really comes from the Greek, really refers to a system. When I was in seminary, we studied the so-called mystery religions. And these were the ancient religions that probably the oldest known to mankind that I believe have their root in the city of Babylon, the building of Babylon. I was reading in H.A. Ironside's book on this, and he cited another author who I've also read the book. The author's name is, his last name is Hyslop, Alexander Hyslop, I believe is his first name is Alexander. But he wrote a book called The Two Babylons, and the information that Ironside included in his book derived from the ancient history and lore of that period. You may recall, if you read the Old Testament, there was a man by the name of Nimrod who arose to prominence after the flood. He was one of the descendants of Noah, obviously, as we all are, if we believe in what the scripture says, that this was a worldwide flood and that all of the race was wiped out except for Noah and his family. Well, there was this leader by the name of Nimrod. The Bible says he became a mighty hunter before the Lord. And he settled in this area that we know as the Mesopotamian plain, around the area where Babylon was later situated. And in fact, he built this tower called, well, we call it the Tower of Babel. The Bible does. And it was at that tower, we find this described in, I believe, Revelation or Genesis chapter 7 or 8, along in there after the flood. Right after the flood, they built this tower, the Bible says, whose top would reach to heaven. And the Hyslop says in his book that this man Nimrod led a rebellion. God had told them to populate the earth, to multiply, and to spread across the face of the earth, but they decided that they weren't going to do that. And so they became, I suppose, the first mega city after the flood. And they formed this city. They said, we're not going to scatter out for fear that we'll be wiped out in another judgment. And I believe that it showed that their heart had not really been touched by the grace of God. They were fearful that God would send another plague, another judgment, perhaps another flood upon the earth. And so they built this tower. And they refused to do as God had instructed them to do in the Bible. It became the first rebellion of man after the flood. And there were these mystery religions that arose during that time, full of mysterious rites. And there was a wife of Nimrod. Her name was Semiramis. And she had this child that supposedly died tragically and then was raised again to life. This is all very, just from the lore that we have from that period of time. And there began this worship of the mother and child cult that then spread to, you know, other religions. And we have, of course, we can think of one, you know, major religion. There are lodges, for example, that have some of these rites, these secret rites. There are cults, certainly a major cult that is very prominent in this area, especially, that has many of these mysterious rites. So there's this mystery element in this system. It's, I believe, a system and not a literal resurrection of Babylon. And we saw how earlier this same beast, I believe, that this woman is sitting on here, was described as arising from the sea. And many believe that that is the revived Roman Empire. So I believe that the Babylon is a system rather than a literal place here. But there's a deviousness about this woman. She is obviously a wicked woman who leads many astray. Now, I'm sure you understand If you've read the Old Testament prophets especially, you know that an adulteress is really symbolic of those who depart from the true faith, the faith that has been revealed of the Creator God, the faith that we have recorded in the Holy Scriptures. The Bible says, to the law and to the testimony, if they speak not according to this word, it is because there is no light in them. But it's human nature to want more information. We don't really like the information sometimes that we have from the Word of God. I think it goes against that sinful nature that we all have. And we, like Nimrod and like his followers, want to rebel against God. That's our nature. The Bible calls that sin. And it says that all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God. But it says that if it speaks not according to this word, it is because there is no light in them. So what about those cults and those other beliefs that have their traditions that are not really in the Scriptures? You can't even find them in the Scriptures in many cases. And sometimes they have another book besides the Holy Scriptures. Well, the Bible says it is because there is no light in them. And that's true of this woman here. She's mysterious. She's devious. She's impious or impious. She's covered, writing this beast that is covered with blasphemous names. And just the whole portrayal we have of this woman shows that here's a woman who is in rebellion against God. And again, this isn't really a literal woman. You understand that. It's the whole system of spiritual adultery that began with Nimrod and his followers and has carried down to the present day. So there's an exhibition here in this scripture. But there's also an explanation. If we could look at, skipping down there actually, to verse 7. It says, the angel said to me, why are you astounded? I will tell you the secret meaning of the woman and of the beast with the seven heads and the ten horns. Now, I think because God not only wanted John to know. Now, John, it says he was utterly astounded. I think the Greek there actually conveys that he was just exhausted. It was just so overwhelming to him. He just stood there, I suppose, with his mouth open and just couldn't hardly believe what he was seeing and didn't really understand what he was seeing. And so he was given this interpretation. There was an explanation, if you will. The angel said, the beast you saw was and is not. Now that goes back to what we had seen earlier, a description of the revived Roman Empire, and is about to come up from the abyss and go to destruction. Those who live on the earth, whose names were not written in the book of life from the foundation of the world, will be astounded when they see the beast that was and is not and will be present again. Here is the mind with wisdom. The seven heads are the seven mountains on which the woman is seated. Now, to a first century writer or reader of this, and you understand that this was a time of persecution when John wrote this book of Revelation, when he recorded it. This was a time that persecutions had broken out severely against Christians. They were regarded as a heretical sect of Judaism. And so they wrote oftentimes in rather cryptic phrases here that everyone who read, though, would understand. And they would understand this to be a description of Rome. Whether there will be a literal seat of government in Rome, we know that there is a revived Roman Empire now, or at least in the beginning stages, in the revival of Europe. I think it has so transformed Europe that now, you know, our greatest competitor, besides China, of course, is in the economic sphere, is Europe. They have become a great force in the world. And I'm sure you know that the leader now of the European Union is the French president, who's gone to Russia and other places as really like an ambassador. What we used to do as a nation, we've seemed to have lost a lot of our influence. People will ask, well, what about the United States and prophecy? Isn't the United States somewhere here in the book of Revelation and in the this period called the Great Tribulation? Surely there must be. Well, if you'll realize that, if you believe as I do, that every Christian who believes in the Lord Jesus Christ, who loves Him, who's been born again by faith in Him, will be caught up out of this period called the Great Tribulation as it begins, at the very beginning. We'll be caught up to meet the Lord in the air. 1 Thessalonians chapter 4 tells us that very clearly. And Revelation chapter 3 and in other places in Scripture, we're told that we will be kept out of the hour of trial that will come upon the earth. So this will so decimate, I believe, our country that we will no longer have much influence on the world stage. I think we'll be so preoccupied with our own problems, we're almost there now, of course, that we will cease to have the influence that we do now as a superpower. We won't be a superpower, I believe, at this time. But there will be a city. It's described here as this four, seven hills that this woman is seated on, which is a very clear description to anyone, I think, who will take the time to study it, that this is Rome that is being described here. They are seven kings. It says in verse 10, five have fallen, one is, and the other has not yet come. And when he comes, he must remain for a little while. If you'll compare this with the earlier chapters in the book of Revelation, you'll understand that this is a description of that revived Roman Empire. And these kings have but one purpose, it says in verse 13, to give their power and authority to the beast. These will make war against the Lamb, but the Lamb will conquer them because he is Lord of lords and King of kings. Those who with him are called and elect and faithful. And in verse 15 it says, and he also said to me, the waters you saw where the prostitute was seated are peoples, multitudes, nations, and languages. The ten horns you saw in the beast will hate the prostitute. They will make her desolate and naked, devour her flesh and burn her with fire. So here's this woman sitting on a beast. Now remember, the prostitute is really a symbol for spiritual adultery. And here is the woman who symbolizes that. Now whether it is the Roman Catholic Church, as many believe it is, or an amalgamation, I think it will be really an amalgamation, a system. But it will be the Babylonian system. Again, the worship of the mother and child. That's a pagan belief that goes back before Christianity even. And there was a cross. There was this son of Nimrod and his wicked wife was named Tammuz. And many believe that the cross is really the T in the name of Tammuz. But it's a worship of icons, worship of idols, which the Bible strictly condemns, that will be rampant in this time called the Great Tribulation, a syncretism. And that just means kind of an amalgamation. All of the paganism of the past has found its head in this idolatrous woman, this prostitute that is described here. There's also, in addition to an exhibition here, and an explanation, an extermination. If we can look at chapter 18, John writes, after this I saw another angel with great authority coming down from heaven, and the earth was illuminated by his splendor. He cried in a mighty voice, it has fallen, Babylon the Great has fallen. She has become a dwelling for demons, a haunt for every unclean spirit, a haunt for every unclean bird, and a haunt for every unclean and despicable beast. So there's an adjudication, and that's just a big word that means God is going to judge. God is going to judge this evil system that has, through the years, persecuted his people, killed his people, has been a spiritual adulteress. God is going to judge. There are people who say, well, you know, if that's the kind of God the Bible portrays, I don't want to have anything to do with him. I want a God who's just a God of love and who embraces all. God would not be God if he were that kind of a God. God is a holy God. God is a God of love, yes, but he is also a God of justice. And part of the reason for this period called the Great Tribulation, and we don't understand everything. I certainly don't understand everything. But I see here God bringing this age to a close, bringing in the last harvest, if you will. And among those that will come to faith during this time are preeminently the Jewish people, who by and large are in unbelief today. But they will embrace their Messiah. When they are disappointed because this false Antichrist, who will be really the Messiah that they thought that they were looking for, but they will be disappointed in him. They will begin to see that the Bible says they will look upon him whom they have pierced. And they will weep for him as one weeps for his only begotten Son. There will be just an outpouring of grief and of faith in Jesus as the Messiah. Many will come to faith because of the witness of the 144,000. And many that are not Jewish will come to faith in Christ during that period. It's obvious. But I want to caution you that if you think, well, you know, that may be true, it may not be true. If it is, When it happens, I'll know it is, and I will accept Christ as my Savior. But the conditions are going to be so much harder then. I think if you have rejected Him in this age of grace, you will not receive Him during this awful period called the Great Tribulation. So I want to encourage you to make your peace with God today while we are in this age of grace. There's an immolation. That means she's going to be burned up, according to what the Scripture says here. I don't understand everything about this, but I know that there are many things, many heinous viruses and unclean things that I think the only way they are going to be destroyed is by fire. And that's what's going to happen here. It says here that she'll be burned up. The smoke of her burning, it says. They will weep. People will weep when they see the smoke of her burning. In verse 8, it says she will be burned with fire because the Lord God who judges her is mighty. I don't like fire. I mean, I like it, you know, when I'm cold. I like to be near it maybe, but I don't like to be in it. One time, years ago, I was just a college student, and I thought I knew more than I did. I'd been in the Navy. I knew a little bit, but apparently I didn't know how to light a gas water heater. We had this water heater that was kind of cantankerous, and I guess I wanted to take a warm, hot bath, I guess, or shower. And as I recall, it was kind of late at night, and I, like 11, I think everybody had gone to bed, so I decided I'd try to light it myself. And so I pushed the button. I tried to read that fine print on there, and I probably didn't read it all the way through. Thought I knew what to do, and I pushed the button and held it in, and I heard a hissing in there. I thought, well, that's probably good. But I struck a match, and I was enveloped in flame, and it singed every hair off my. I didn't have a beard then, but singed my eyebrows, my hair off my arms, and I can still feel the pain of that. I wasn't severely burned, but just that, you know, that pain in my hands, especially the hand that was closest to the fire, has just made us, given me a new respect for fire. Well, I don't want to be here. And I think this is what God is saying. Get ready now. Make sure that you're right with God today. Make sure that you have Jesus in your heart. Jesus said at the beginning of this book in Revelation 3:20, "Behold, I stand at the door and knock." And he said, "If anyone hears my voice and opens the door, I will come in." So open the door of your heart. Ask him to come in and be your Savior today. Her desolation. If we look there at the concluding verses of chapter 18 there, it describes a city that is desolate, thrown down violently, will never be found again. The sound of harpists, musicians, flutists, and trumpeters will never again be heard in you. No craftsman of any trade will ever be found in you again. The sound of a mill will never be heard in you again. And it goes on and describes here a city that is desolate. God will deal ultimately with sin. And we need to make sure of our salvation today. We need to, first of all, acknowledge that we are sinners. That it was our sins that made Jesus have to go to the cross. But that God, in this time of grace, has come to us and has given us this message of reconciliation. Be reconciled to God today before this awful night called the Great Tribulation descends upon the earth.